This is the BBC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Hell's torn gusset. I queued 2 hours, two desperate hours this morning. Myrtle, Peg, good morning. Beset by cold northwesterlies and vicious cockney fishwives for 2 ounces of butter. Do you know how much 2 ounces is?
Barely a knob.
Well, precisely. Don't guffaw, Myrtle. Save it up till playtime and do it with the rest of the oiks.
It's just London's so full of horror and loneliness that when one gets an opportunity to laugh and be gay, one should stand above a crowd and sing.
Have you been listening to the wireless?
Only the last entertainment programmes.
Well, don't. It's full of lowbrow innuendo and pantomimic smut.
Yeah, a little light banter does a measure of good for morale.
I only listen for the music.
Vera Lynn.
Gracie Fields.
Harriet Pertley.
Harriet Pertley?
Glamorous, elegant, ethereal.
I want to be Harriet Pertley when I grow up.
Myrtle, you are grown up. This is as good as it gets for you and me. No show tunes and Bentley drophead coupes for us. Just sleeves up, head down, and a pinched bottom should Britain ever win the war.
I mean, after the war.
At this rate, I suspect you should start learning German now.
I heard Harriet's the mistress of what's-his-face.
Who?
The bloke. With the face and dark, in the army.
All of mankind is in the army, Myrtle.
The flying army.
RAF?
The one with the face.
Bomber Johnson!
That's it!
First of all, how on earth did you get that? And second of all, not a chance. Bomber Johnson's a discerning Englishman. Mistress, indeed.
You haven't seen Harriet. She's quite the ticket.
Regardless, put Harriet furthest from your mind and think instead of Comrade Pavlenty Lavovich Kruglov. Oh, Comrade Pavlenty Lavovich Kruglov is arriving in London today. It's tremendous news.
I thought you hated Bolsheviks.
I do. The point is, Comrade Kruglov is coming to Great Britain for preliminary talks about an Anglo-Soviet treaty, whereby, if successful, we can force the rotten old Kraus into fighting a war on two fronts. This could mean the war's over by Christmas. Or, at the very worst, tea time on Boxing Day.
I love Boxing Day. All the neighbourhood kids setting off down the canal with a sack full of puppies.
Shut up, Myrtle. And swat up on Comrade Kruglov. Poster boy of the gulag system and pin-up of the NKVD.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Millicent Hillary Jones.
Tremendous news. As we speak, Comrade Kruglov is flying to London in order to...
Anglo-Soviet treaty, yes. I was just saying to the girls how exciting it is.
It could take spiffing to an eye-watering new level. A treaty with the USSR would mean...
War on two fronts, yes.
The bulletin board in the officers' mess is meant specifically for officers, Dotty. It's not the parish council notice board of Mimsy on the Marsh, on which any passer-by may learn of bridge club postponements.
Yes, Millicent.
Quite, Dotty. Oh, officer background.
Rumour.
Quite so, officer background. By tea time on Boxing Day, apparently.
Must you flirt with all the officers, Millicent?
Telegram from Soviet embassy reads, Comrade K, express request to meet Ensor singer Pertley Harriet G.
Isn't Pertley the utter antithesis of everything Kruglov stands for? One would have thought a Soviet heartthrob would be some short, dull, troglodyte woman covered in oil, banging two bits of iron piping together. Why, someone like Myrtle.
Oi!
Either way, the Soviet emissary is en route, and Peabody picked me personally to meet him because, well, I don't know. I suppose there's the vaguest similarity in broad physical type between myself and Pertley. I've never seen it before, but it's often commented on.
Well,
it's the little retrousse nose, apparently.
Ladies!
Sir!
Smashing! Bravo! Top notch! Millicent Hillary Jones and,
Dorothy, sir.
If you like. Quick word. Hushed tones. Utmost mum. If you two might please briskly follow me down the hall to my office, I'll close the door and begin my next sentence.
Yes, sir!
Secrets. Oh, the war's full of them. You can't remove your woolen bed socks in the morning without another festering great secret smacking you right between the eyes. At any given moment, someone we don't know is doing something we don't know what.
Yes, sir.
And that's no secret. It's a pickle. A giant, flatulent arse of a pickle. But be that as it may, it's now our job to learn enemy secrets, which we can then promptly keep from them.
Yes, sir.
think I'm with you, sir.
That's why, ladies, while Millicent Hillary Jones here speeds across London to pick up Comrade Krugloff, you,
Dotty,
must hot-heel straight to the Metropole Hotel where Krugloff's rooms have been tapped.
Tapped, sir?
Bugged. We've equipped Krugloff's rooms with the very latest secret recording paraphernalia. All you and the girls from personnel here have to do is eavesdrop and record everything. We want codes, coordinates, conspiracies. We want to know what makes Krugloff tick. And be it possible, and we believe it is, talk.
Giddy with patriotic muster, sir.
Once you've set up, go and meet Millicent with a good comrade to see Pertley play at Merrick's in Soho. And when it comes to Krugloff, ladies, butter him up.
Oh?
Butter him, grease him, and oil him, if need be. In short, if it's lipophilic and slippery, slather him with it.
I've barely enough butter for myself.
And certainly with a little elbow grease, you can palm him off with a knob of butter, Dotty.
Good Lord.
Why not, old girl? Kremlin says he's up and coming, so we ought to take him in hand and milk him for all he's worth. Why are you blushing?
I'm not. It's vim.
Make certain it is.
The word's opulence, Myrtle. And don't get used to it. Above this palatial suite is the attic. Pigeon dung, damp rats and rafters. You'll feel far more at home up there.
God bless you, Dotty.
Peg's already up there and will log everything in the ledger. Every coming and going, every bellhop and maid. And we're also to record every bally thing on shellac gramophone discs. A sofa won't squeak in here without it being noted in triplicate.
Yes, I was up there with Peg earlier when you came in to do a fart.
It wasn't a fart. It was a sofa squeaking.
Excuse me, lady.
Oh, we're only chambermaids. We're just gaffed up in these official uniforms for larks. It's a muck-up day. One of those...
You needn't worry about any of that, old girl.
I know you. You're the one with the face.
You mean?
That's right. I'm Reginald Bummer Johnson. Slightly sensitive matter, loose lips and Britain, grrr, etc.
Quite.
And Sir Singer by name of Pertley, Harriet G., utter treasure of a gal.
We're big fans, Mr. Bomber. Well, not so much, Dot.
She's not... very much so, sir. Very much so. Squiffy just thinking of her, sir.
Then you'll understand if I described Harriet as my little buttered crumpet mouse, wouldn't you?
And I... if... well, Lord.
Oh, yes, sir. And she's very much the people's little buttered crumpet mouse.
Heard on grapevine, this Bolshevik Kruglov has a pang for my little...
crumpet mouth?
I'm not a violent man, ladies.
Go on with you. You're the most violent man in Britain.
Well, maybe a pinch. But the important thing is this. If any harm comes to my little dewy little muffin girl, then you two...
And Peg, she's upstairs.
Thank you. Then you three...
She can hear us, but we can't hear her.
Thank you. If anything happens to my syrupy little pancake hamster, or that Bolshevik ass trumpet lays one finger on her butterscotch whiskers, I shall rain hell down upon thee like incendiary curses from the Bible itself. Is that understood?
Quite so, sir. Utterly, sir.
Bravo. Lecture over, old beans. I'll waddle off and allow you whippersnappers to crack on with your espionage and whatnot. Tinkety-tonk, ladies. Tinkety-tonk.
Tinkety-tonk, Bomber Johnson.
Oh, he seems nice.
Yes, I'm not certain you've got the knack of this who's nice and who's not business yet, Mert.
Dotty, now we ought to pick up the pace if we're to catch Harriet before Krugloff gets there.
Not you, Peggy.
Why?
Because your keenness for this singer borders on the fanatical.
But Dotty, Myrtle gets to do all the good bits. Well,
one
I
always
just...
hopes one is never forced into this position, Peggy. But if this insubordination continues, I'll be forced to narrow my eyes at you.
You wouldn't dare.
Peg, wait upstairs in the recordulation room. Myrtle, put on your coat and... are those mittens?
They're attached by a string through the arms. Isn't it clever?
It makes me profoundly sad, somehow. Anyway, come on, Myrtle. Harriet and Krugloff are to be ships passing in the night, extremely quickly, with one of them then swiftly kicked away over the horizon. Let's go!
Backstage at Merrick's. Oh, crikey. Did you see them ladies with the feathers? Cora, imagine that. The smell of the grease paint, the rub of the sequins.
And their bosoms, Dotty. Very prominent.
I know. Practically up round their necks in a headlock. One of them was nearly passed out from asphyxiation. Ah, here we are. Absolute professionalism, Myrtle. Candor, civility, and brevity.
Enter!
evening, Miss Pertley. My name's Dorothy. Thank you ever so for making the time. I only hope we aren't disturbing any crucial preparations before you go on stage.
Well, what's a life without disturbances?
Ah, yes. Which reminds me, this is Myrtle.
How do you do, Myrtle?
I apologize. This is the first time Myrtle's ever met a luminary of light entertainment, and I expect she's keen to let me down.
Well, you both seem jolly lovely to me. Hello.
Miss Pertley, as you may have been told, Myrtle and I are from the Cabinet War Rooms.
Gosh, I know. Isn't it utterly wizard?
We have rather an important Soviet emissary in England today.
But how frightful.
Well, normally, absolutely, Miss Pertley, but needless to say, the machinations of international politics make for complicated bedfellows.
Yes, but Mummy always says one's English patriotism must be absolute, now more than ever. And the idea of those nasty princess-murdering Bolshy commie lefties over here, I don't mind saying, it gives me the screaming ab-dabs.
On any other day, I'd be in ardent agreement with you. But alas, today we must ask ourselves which is the greater evil, the Soviets or Germany?
Oh.
It's Germany.
Well.
It is. It's Germany. Comrade Kruglov is a very nice man.
But is he?
And quite the fan of your work.
Really? Gosh, well, how horribly embarrassing. Did you hear that, Monkey?
And you will be doing a personal favour to us.
Us?
Indeed. The King, the PM, the punting undergraduates on the River Cam, the White Cliffs of Dover, and even for the tiny guttural squeaks of a small shrubland goblin from Putney.
Oh, very well. Well, if it's for the King...
Thank you. It'll only be the very briefest of fleeting chatettes. After your performance, come and meet us at the back with Comrade Kruglov. 2-3 words, and then you're fit to flounce away into the night and right on until dawn, should you summon the necessary vim.
Well, that all sounds spiffing. Thanks, Dorothy. And thank you, little one. What an adorable grimace. And what a lot of gum you have. Is there anything I can do for you, my little dear heart?
Some cast!
But you don't have a cast or a broken... Now, don't do that. Your poor arm.
Wait,
Myrtle. You're not to break your arm, please.
Sorry, my bosom.
You probably ought.
Thank you, Myrtle.
Follow me. I think I can spot their table.
Ah, Dorothy, old stick.
Millicent. Good evening. And good evening, Comrade Kruglov.
Good evening.
Harriet's just... flouncing this way as we speak.
Hello, everyone.
This, Miss Pertley, as I'm sure you're aware, is Comrade Kruglov, emissary to the United Kingdom.
Oh, Comrade Pertley, my heart beats against the rocks of your island shores like the tides of the East Siberian Sea.
Really?
Well, there we have it. It was so lovely of you to pop over, Harry.
Indeed, it thunders against my ribs like tank treads clamoring to be nearer you.
Gosh, is that painful?
Not as painful as the muteness your absence brings, like the snows of a thousand freezing winters muffling my raging heart.
Well, Myrtle's got some mittens if you need them. Gosh, is that the time, Harriet?
That's amazing. Do another one.
Come, sit here, comrade. Your beauty is like spring in Leningrad and the twinkling of a thousand collectivized farms prinked with morning dew.
Gosh, that's capital. Are all your synonyms about communist things?
Lord, is that an air raid siren? Come on, Pertley.
I have put tremendous pressure on the Central Committee of the Communist Party to allow your music to be published in the Soviet Union.
Little old me.
You are a faraway beauty, mantled in mist, like the exquisite dawn over the Ural Mountains.
Yay! I knew you'd do another one.
Tell me everything. Come back to the metropole and watch the sunrise over your beguiling capital and tell me in scrupulous detail of your life. I wish only to listen to the contents of your gypsy heart.
Oh, tip-top.
Dorothy, she's utterly remarkable. Whatever you did to brief her was spot on.
Sorry?
She's using her feminine allure to coax him into purring submission.
Very good, yes.
The honeypot runneth over. Take her back to the hotel with you.
Back, Millicent? Impossible. We can't have her coming back to the Metropole. What about Bomber Bally Johnson?
What about him?
Well,
it's an act, Dotty. Not that you'd know. You're frightened of looking down in case you see your own bosom.
What rot.
Well, I'm so terribly tired now, my dear comrades. I ought to find a cab and retire. But Dotty here will accompany you both back to the hotel for a drink, should you wish to keep talking. Won't you, Dotty?
Gosh, good Lord. Pitt.
Cool.
Quiet, Myrtle. Peg. Peg. Peg! Wake up.
Harriet.
She's here.
What? What?
Pertley's down there.
What the devil?
It's true.
Quickly, Peg. Put the needle on the recordulation apparati.
Genuinely, Dotty, is she here?
On stage, Peg, she may be effervescent and gay, but off stage, she need only open her mouth for everyone's brain cells to start collapsing in on themselves.
Nonsense.
She looks like a sliver of soap with a haircut. However, Millicent, in her infinite wisdom, believes Harriet's going to charm the lid off our tin of pickled herring. Shh! That's them. Silence, silence.
Gosh, what a view.
Make yourself comfortable, my dear.
Are we getting everything, Peg?
As loud and clear as a French surrender, old girl.
Smashing. Now all that saccharine drip has to do is coax a few state secrets from Kruglov, then we can cause a diversion and get her out.
Tell me of the USSR, Comrade Kruglov.
I suppose I should have known subtlety was out of the question.
You have a saying in my country which goes... For the love of God, don't tell anyone anything ever. Bloody hell, is that the police already?
Oh, you are naughty.
I jest, of course. But tell me a little of yourself.
I hope you don't think I'm beastly, Kruglov. But I am sworn to another. Have you heard of a gentleman by the name of Bomber Johnson? It's utterly secret and no one knows a thing.
What's she doing?
By hell's torn nostrils, the women's an utter dunce.
Bomber Johnson, Sir Reginald Priscilla Johnson, Commander-in-Chief of British Bomber Command and Knight Commander of the Order of the Bath.
Oh, I don't keep up with all that rot. He's just Reggie Roo the kangaroo to me. And he really is the jolliest, oinkiest little meow in any sty of the whole petting zoo of my heart.
Oh.
I'm not intent on causing any complications, Miss Pertley.
No, darling, you won't. Bomber and I have not known one another.
I don't understand.
Of course, the thing one has to know about Bomber Johnson is that he's a devilishly physical man, but he's had trouble aging, too. In his youth, he enjoyed a, shall we say, jolly firm resolve, constitutionally speaking. He boasts of his, as it were, youthful steadfastness. But as he's got older... The old chap's been somewhat prone to flim-flamming, if you follow my drift.
Oh, hell on toast, Peg. We can't record this. Johnson's the pin-up boy of the war. You'd need a chest the size of Basingstoke to hang his medals.
I don't think High Command are going to be interested in Johnson's Johnson any more than you or I, Dotty.
But Johnson is High Command, Peg, you abhorrent arse. And he expressly warned us about anyone touching his little crumpet mouse. On top of which, he'll find this hugely embarrassing. How would you feel if your delicates were aired willy-nilly through High Command like strings of bunting? Not only is he having an affair, Peg, but he's also not having an affair.
Then the is having and the not having cancel one another out, Dotty.
I've got it.
The record, don't you scratch it!
Our only hope is a complete failure of equipment.
Give me that record, Dotty.
Not a chance. Bomber was explicitly biblical at us, and I'm much afeard.
All right, you two.
What?
Listen.
But... I can't hear anything.
Exactly.
Oh, give me the headset.
Oh, maybe they've come to their senses and popped off for a soothing mug of Bovril. Oh, sanity prevails.
No, they're still there.
Then, there.
I'm afraid so, old girl.
Oh, hell's quivering sphincter. I knew this would end badly. We may all pretend to be thoroughly modern and permissive and frank about sex. But sex always ends badly, every time for absolutely everybody, and if not for everybody else, then consequently for me. I ought to have known the moment modern music was brought into the equation that it would end in my being hanged. I can't believe you talked me into handing over that recording to Peabody, Peg. We'll be fired, I most of all, and then Bomber Ruddy Johnson will rain fire and brimstone and all the pointless savagery of the Old Testament upon our sorry backsides.
Ladies.
Sir.
Remain standing, ladies. I've been listening somewhat gravely to your recording. I don't often say this, but I've rarely been so incensed and disquieted as I have been this morning listening to last night's pantomime.
To be fair to ourselves, sir.
Officer, background. Dorothy, no. Someone will hang for this.
Good God, sir. But at the time of recording, sir, we...
Thank you for bringing it through, Officer Background. Millicent Hillary Jones, are you able to desist whatever it is you're doing and join us in the personnel offices?
Absolutely, sir. My, you look positively ashen, sir.
I am deeply depressed, Millicent. And not in a swoonsome Humphrey Bogart way, either. I'm afraid it's black cap and creaky rope time for an erstwhile much-loved colleague. Background, if you wouldn't mind firing up the Recordatron implement.
Quite true, Bob.
What's that? Probably a sofa squeaking.
Skip ahead, Background.
Here really is the jolliest, oinkiest little meow in any sty of the whole petting zoo of my heart.
I'm not intent on causing any complications, Miss Pertley.
No, darling, you won't. Bomber and I have not known one another.
I don't understand.
Of course, the thing one has to know about Bomber Johnson is that he's a double agent, too.
A double agent? My own chum, Reginald Priscilla Johnson. The ham to my eggs. The mash to my pie. The third thing to my other thing.
Are you certain, sir?
Well, yes. There's always three things, but I'm too upset. Now's not the time, old girl.
In his youth, he enjoyed a, shall we say, jolly firm resolve, constitutionally speaking. He boasts of his, as it were, youthful steadfastness. But as he's got older, the old chap's been somewhat prone to flim-flamming, if you follow my drift.
As you can see, this is most upsetting news.
But he's your lover. You must have known something was out of the ordinary, my darling.
I knew he was hiding something, but I presumed he was simply being a gentleman. I didn't realize he could barely fly his flag. Even at half-mast.
Indeed. The turncoat may have two flags under his belt, but is cursed to only fly either at half-mast.
You don't think, sir, that Harriet was referring to something else?
You can hear it plain as day. The man's a flim-flammy double agent who over time has weakened constitutionally and has now been tempted by the other side.
Except, sir, I'm not sure, but there may have been a little scratch on the record. Did anyone else spot the tiniest...
No, I didn't.
Not even the tiniest little, perhaps momentarily, scratch.
I'm afraid, Air Marshal Peabody, what you hear on this gramophone disc is very much what precisely happened at the Metropole, as we can all attest.
Well, damnness news, ladies. A heartbreaking serving of drat, blast, and may I add a heavy dollop of gnifips on top of that, too.
Gnifips, sir?
It's spiffing backwards. With so many words to describe grief and loss now in circulation, I'm hoping it'll catch on.
Gnifips indeed, sir.
But the scratch, sir.
Gnifips.
Don't interrupt, Dotty. I see what you're doing.
Oh, poor Millicent. It's only natural for such a pure, patriotic woman as yourself to be shell-shocked out of all reason. Gnifish.
Listen here, Dotty. Perhaps if we play it again, sir.
No, Dotty's right. You're in shock. Bomber Johnson's a bally traitor, and it's Gnifips all round for the rest of us. Officer Background.
Gnifips?
Issue a warrant for the arrest of Bomber Johnson on, I don't know, 3 counts of high treason. A sad day for England. A sad day for us all.
Ought we to arrest Comrade Kruglov before he can leave the country?
If we arrest the man, the gig's up. They know we've been listening in, and that's the one thing we have over them. When they realise Germany has every plan to invade them, they'll be back. Commie tails between their red, ruddy legs. Nope, just the one arrest warrant today, old girl. Dorothy. Dorothy's two colleagues. Well done. Firm handshakes and retina-detaching slaps on the back for you all. Officer Background, Millicent, follow me to my office where I'll tell you my next sentence.
I don't understand.
When we recorded Harriet's utterance, Bomber Johnson is a devilishly physical man, but he's had trouble aging, too. The scratch caught up right between the d of devilishly and the tr of trouble, causing a double agent, too, to appear.
What are the chances?
It's probably better we don't look too closely at the maths, Peg.
But won't Harriet immediately attest to the contrary?
I need to speak to you three ladies immediately.
Leave this to me, Peg. I've had an idea.
I don't know what's happened here, but listen here.
Oh, shut your mouth.
I'm sorry.
I said be quiet, you saccharine, simpering floozy. It's your kind of miserable, wincing femininity that gives we hard-working women a bad name. And by the way, you're a little old to be milking the little girl routine by your age, aren't you? You're lucky we don't telegram Bomber Johnson ourselves and inform him of your little rendezvous last night.
That's right. It'll be you who does the listening here henceforth. Wouldn't you say, Miss Pertley?
It's Comrade Pertley now, actually.
Comrade?
I came to inform you that I'm leaving today with Comrade Kruglov to return to the USSR. You can tell Bomber Johnson all you like.
You're defecting?
State-controlled radio and state-controlled popular music. And I, a glorious singer and soon to be wife of a first deputy chairman of the whole USSR, there will be no greater star in the Soviet sky.
So, you played us?
Like a dreary ukulele, old girl. And by the way, the whole Anglo-Soviet treaty was a scam. Kruglov only came to snaffle our secrets. Oh, and incidentally, before I go...
Yes?
Playing girl isn't even fractionally as easy as I make it look. Comrade?
My darling.
Take me away. I do so long to see the twinkling lights of the Kremlin at nightfall.
At once, my love.
Toodle-pip, rotters. Last one on the winning side's a rotten egg. Hooray!
Hooray!
Ghastly woman.
Still, it's Narshi Fan, love.
Yes, at least there's a faintly happy ending for someone, I suppose.
Less so for Bomber Johnson.
Fancy sorting out this mess any other way, Ulbricht.
Officer Background and some of his boys are readying to arrest Bomber Johnson at his private residence, Dottie.
Oh, yes.
Don't suppose you have that arrest warrant written up and ready to go?
Ah, yes. Peg was just about to type that up for you, weren't you?
That's unless you've got any evidence to the contrary that might be pertinent to this case, Dorothy.
Don't think so, old girl. Peg?
No.
Isn't it? Get typing then, old girl. Millie's in a rush.
Thank you, Dottie.
Thank you, Millicent. Gniffips.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Finella Woolgar, Myrtle by Kate O'Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, and Millicent by Jane Slate. Air Marshal Peabody was played by David Acton. Comrade Pavlenty Lavovich Krugloff by Nick Underwood. Miss Harriet Pertley by Scarlett Brooks. Bomber Johnson by Sean Baker. And Officer Background as himself. The director was Jessica Brown.
When you're up to your neck in